Speak the word. And yes, Lisa, I do have feelings, so you know, but I felt that was fitting for the message here tonight. I am glad that you three showed up. At least somebody's showing some interest in this thing, you know. I was kind of saying earlier, you know, because I kind of last week I didn't have a message because something came up, but a week before that, It seemed like we had a lot of people on the channel, but they really were not in the channel. And my wife was sitting here, and she kind of sensed that, myself, and I have too. And it just seemed like, you know, I'm starting to get the distinct impression that many are not really want to attend these sermons anymore. So, again, I'm praying on and deciding what I'm going to do, whether or not I should discontinue them and just see which direction this chat goes, and or what, you know. But, you know, I have talked to other friends that I do know have chats. They're running strong with their messages and stuff. It's just the things that they allowed on the site, it's just it's ungodly. It's just, you know, I can't resort to that. But that's always been the typical MO of this site. You know, many starts off strong and they're doing things. And my hat's off to Cortell and Happy and Rick and, you know, Daughter of Heavenly Faith, or however she goes. I call her Dot for short. You know, you got those people right there are really dedicating themselves to being here. It just seems like the rest just don't want to be here no more. So, you know, we're going to have some decisions to start making within the next, you know, possible month. But I'm seeking the Lord on this. But anyway, I was led to this message. You know, again, I'm not trying to brag, and I told you this. You know, it does take me time to think about this, to write this, and then to type it up, then to review it, you know. And you know, and it does take a little time, you know. And you know, any minister will tell you, you know, it's just something we just don't do on the fly. You know, it just, you know, sometimes, you know, you have it all together, and a lot of times you got to work on this. You know, you got to prepare it. You know, you got to pray up with it. You got to review it constantly. But this is what I was led to. I was supposed to preach this last week again, but we had some issues going on in the house, and I had to tend to those and some issues in the church. But can you give me an amen and let me know if you hear this? Because I see my light blinking saying that I'm talking. Okay, I just got to be sure. But anyway, think about this. All of us, we all inhabit a story. All of us has a story. And when you look at it, our culture tells us that we inhabit a story of our own making. That's what the culture wants to tell us today. One that we forge for ourselves, which is why we are often told, you can be who you want to be and do what you want to do. That's what our society today wants to tell us. That's what society is trying to paint and burn into everybody's mind, that you can be whoever you want to be and do what you want to do. Now, there is some truth in that. You know, I mean, I relate to this a little bit, because back when I was going to school, I used to have teachers, because again, bottom line, I was never supposed to be in public school. I was labeled what they call a retard. I was below average. I shouldn't even been admitted in public school, but yet I was. I was deaf. Completely deaf in my right ear and hardly had any hearing in my left ear. And my eyesight back then was not even that great then. But again, you know, my teachers used to tell me all the time throughout school, especially in middle school, junior high and high school, boy, you're never going to amount to nothing. You're never going to amount to nothing. You're as stupid as they are. You're nothing but a dummy. You're a retard individual. You shouldn't even be here. So I used to hear that all the time from people. You're worth nothing. You were a mistake. We had to get married because of you. And how do you think that did to my self-esteem? How do you think that did to me as a child? But see, but I kept hearing somebody saying, but you know what? You can be whatever you want it to be and do whatever you want to do. And I used to hear that. But you know, that's why I said it has some truth. But if you do it on a worldly view, that's not real truth. But you can do it in a biblical view, because again, according to God, we can be what we want to be and do what we want to do as long as we do it all for His glory. So we have to really, you know, break that fine line. We really have to understand, where is the truth in that line? Where does the truth become a lie and a lie becomes the truth? So in order, what society says, to be who we want to be and do what we want to do, in order to write our own story, we are told that we have to discover ourselves. And many people will tell you, you know, in order to do what you want to do, you got to discover yourself. And our society today tells us that we discover who we are by looking within. Now, while that sounds great, it's not true. Let me repeat that. When society tells you that you need to discover by looking within, look, it sounds great, but it's not true. Now, if we look within to discover who we are and begin writing our story based on what we find, guess what? It's going to be one messed up story. It's going to be a self-absorbed story. And all you have to do is look at people's Facebooks, their Twitter feeds, their Snapchat, and everything else. You'll find out that it's true. It's nothing but a mess if you look within inside of yourself. Basically, friends, we're messed up people. We're messed up people who has been corrupted by sin. So instead of looking within, we need to look outside of ourselves. And by outside of ourselves, I don't mean what our society tells us. I don't mean that. It's just as messed up as we are because we make up that society. But instead, we have to look beyond ourselves and our society and look to God and what is holy and what is holy in what His words tells us. That's how we look. That's how we look outside. So in a similar way, we may look at the Bible and we may ask, what is the Bible and what is it for? I don't know if you ever thought about it that way, you know, until I recently started, was led this direction. I started thinking about it. You know, I never really looked at it this way and said, what is the Bible? And what is it for? See, friends, until we are able to answer that question, it's not going to be useful to us until we understand what it really means to us as a Christian and why it's so important for us in our walk with the Lord. Let me kind of rephrase that. When we ask what is the Bible and what it's for, in order for us to fully understand that question, till we understand what it really means to us, we will never know how important it is to us until we understand our walk with the Lord. Now, if you got your Bible with you, Lisa will post it for you on the screen. You know, you can read it on the screen if you want. Our reading for tonight is Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. And I love these words here. It says, for your words were found. And this is Jeremiah speaking, by the way. He said, your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and a delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord of hosts. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Father, thank you for these fine people that decided to take a little bit of their time to be here today. Father, as we were just contemplating and talking about the others who failed to show up or why they're not showing up, God, I don't know. I don't understand it. You know, Satan loves to get into their lives. Satan loves to block them, you know. Many feel like, well, you know, this is just becoming a dread just to be here online and be here in this room to hear these messages. I don't know what's going on. I wish I could offer the answer to that. Father, we're trying. Oh, Lord knows, you know we're trying, but I just don't understand why just people don't want to be part of this thing anymore. And we are seeing, you know, Satan's getting into a lot of people and loading people down with many things. Many get distracted. Many says, oh, I got a problem. Many got, I get caught up in Facebook. I get caught up in that, this, that, whatever. I don't know. Again, I'm just going to have to let you deal with them and let you just do whatever you have to do. And for whatever reason, you just deal with them. You know, that's up to you and that's in your hands. But for those who are here tonight, they could not have shown up neither. They could have went down their own little thing too. So I ask if you please bless them, strengthen them, encourage them, lift them up. Father, put your protective hand on them, the household, and help them face whatever difficulties they are facing in their lives. And Father, I hope that the message, you know, again, I'm just being obedient to whatever you want me to do to present this message. I was thinking about not presenting this message again tonight, you know, but I decided to be faithful to you anyway in order to do so. So hopefully this message may mean something to the few that's here tonight. And those who may listen to this later on, I understand time zone constraints and they can't be here. They said they want to, but it's just too late for them to be here. So we thank you, we love you, and praise you. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. That's high quality H2O. How about that? Well, anyway, y'all seen a bot message. It, you know, y'all get a heads up on the message. And the message tonight, or the title, What the Bible Means to a Christian. Now, I asked you the question earlier. You know, when we ask the question, what is the Bible and what is it for? So, you know, I really want you to dig deep within yourselves. I really want you to think about the Bible more than you have never thought about it before and ask yourself, what does the Bible mean to me as a Christian? See, friends, the Bible isn't what we call a self-help book. It's not. You know, some gets the expectation, well, I'm just going to get the Bible and read it. It's going to solve all my problems if I read it. Well, there's some truth to that, but not necessarily so. But many people in this world, the society today, thinks, well, the Bible's a self-help book. I'm going to read it. I get my answer. But I have to tell you, my friends, if you are not a child of God, and you know me, I'll preach it straightforward. I don't candy coat this. I don't sugarcoat it. Because if I do, I better kick my own self in the head if I do. Lord forbid for me to ever cave into that. But non-believers, if they grab the Bible and think they're going to read, okay, well, I'm going to get all my answers. I'm sorry to tell you, it's not going to happen, Captain, as someone would say. The only time it may is when it may be your appointed time for God to lead you to your salvation. And then the word will speak to you. But other than that, if you have no intentions of ever coming to Christ, don't bother trying to read the Bible because you're not going to understand it. The Word clearly says in Scriptures, the Bible is foolish to those who are not of God. I'm paraphrasing that a little bit. You may be able to find the Scripture and post it, but basically, those who are not of God, the Bible is foolish to them. The Bible was written for all those who are born again of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one that speaks to you when you are reading the Word, because the Word is living. We're going to get into that. But like I said, it's not a self-help book. It's not a science book. It's not to be what I call a comprehensive history book. It isn't a book that's going to answer all of your questions. In fact, a lot of times, and I'm going to speak real slow on this, in fact, the Bible, a lot of times, it's probably going to raise more questions than answers. Think about that one. The Bible raises more questions than answers. How so? Just read the book of Job or the book of Revelation, and you'll have a good idea of what I'm talking about. Even when I still, all my years of 17 years of pouring through scriptures and trying to study and trying to do the best I can, a lot of questions still come up. And I ask myself, what is it saying? Who does this mean to? What is this leading to? Or is this saying what I think it's saying? See, it answers some of your questions that you may have. You know, you may be dealing with something. So a lot of times, I don't know about you, but a lot of times when I'm dealing with something, I do go to scriptures. And I always caution everybody, look, if you're dealing with something in your life, don't take no advice from some so-called friend. Don't take no advice from some help group or some kind of internet program or whatever. Don't go to, you know, if you're a drug addict, don't go to another drug addict to get advice. You go to the Word of God. If you're a Christian and you're dealing with these things, you go to the Word. Period. Now, like I said, sometimes it raises more questions than it gives you answers. But a lot of times, if you're truly seeking the truth and really looking, the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. Trust me, He does, in its proper time. You can't force it. And see, folks, when you understand what I'm talking about, you understand that the Bible isn't any of these things that I kind of mentioned. Instead, in fact, the Bible is God's special revelation of Himself in a unified collection of books that form one story whose purpose is to point us to Jesus so we can glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's what the Bible does for us. That's what the Bible is. And the Bible means to us as a Christian. And as we just read in our reading scriptures for tonight, and I don't know if you really paid attention to it. Lisa, could you repost that again? But I don't know if you really caught what I caught when I was writing this. In our reading scriptures, I don't know if y'all seen this, but just what Jeremiah was doing. Look what he did. You know, let me grab my notes in case he's got a stomach for it. But look what he said. He ate them. Basically, Jeremiah, he digested the word. He delighted in the word. He spoke God's words in God's name for the people's good. How often are we doing that? How often? I'm guilty because I will tell you, a lot of times I don't do as Jeremiah says to do. Sometimes I treat it like, well, I just got to get my reading time in so I can hurry and go do other things I want to do today. See, I've been talking with my wife a little bit lately, and she says she's kind of been in what we call a spiritual funk. That's the way she describes it. I think you can understand that because we all get like that sometimes. We just get in a bad funk. And a lot of times, you know, when I get in those funks, if you want to call it that, usually I go to another pastor. I talk to another brother. You know, we got the brotherhood. But usually we talk to another brother or sister. But, you know, when I was listening to her, you know, I said, okay, well, what seems to be going on? And, you know, she was telling me a few things, and I'm not going to say everything what they were. But, you know, I asked her a question. Generally, what I ask people here in this chat, newcomers that shows up, generally I ask them three questions. Usually I ask them, first thing, how is your prayer life? The second thing I generally ask a person in conversations, how often are you engaging into reading and studying the Word? And third, generally is, are you attending corporate worship? And usually 9 times out of 10, I can get a general idea what their problem is. But see, a lot of times we get into that little funk, if you want to call it, that wilderness or the dry place. There's many names you can give it. But if you ever like that, you better examine yourself and find out what is the problem. And I asked her that question, and she says, no, I hadn't been into the Word that much. My spiritual life, my prayer time has kind of been down the tubes. So I didn't want to really, you know, eat it up that bad. But I said, but baby, for us to get strong, for us to grow, for us to get close, we need to be into the Word. We need to do what Jeremiah did. We need to digest that Word. We need to delight in that Word. We need to speak God's words in God's name. We need to have that zeal. And sometimes that zeal is a hard thing to do consistently throughout every day. Because we're being bombarded left and right, up and down, side to side, you name it, whatever. We're twisted, poked, prodded, bent, whatever. Satan is trying everything to pull us away. To get people, as we was talking about this morning, and I think, Rick, you mentioned it, about someone says, you know, it's a shame the way they see Christians doing that. But I think you said, well, which is true, Christian is just a name. It doesn't mean nothing. That's all it is, a name. But sometimes we, as true blue born-again believers, Christians, we should be constantly enjoying the Word of God, but sometimes we don't. I'm speaking for myself, so I ain't talking for you. And I've been talking to the Lord lately about that. Because when I wrote this message, it was really starting to hit me to my spiritual core. Am I like Jeremiah? Am I really delighting and digesting it and speaking it? Jeremiah was, and how come I'm not? So I'm working on that one. And this is what us as Christians today should be doing. All of us. All of you who's here in this room right now, this is how you should be doing it. I'm not here to convict you. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But sadly, many are not. Many Christians today are not delighting in the Word. And most of my encounters, if you want to say this, most of the reasons they tell me they don't, they come up and usually tell me something like this. Well, Brother Jim, it's the dread to read it at times. I don't care to be worried or reading the Old Testament no more. That doesn't mean nothing to me. I just don't really want to study it and live it like I used to. And some of them that I talk to, and this is coming from Christians, some of them will say, well, you know what, Jim? I just don't have the time for it. I'm so busy. Busy, 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 busy. Bees. We sound like bees. You see, again, my wife in this conversation, you know, she was kind of saying that, you know, I really just don't have the time to read the Word like I used to. But you know what I told her? I said, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Now, didn't you just sit on the sofa with me the other night and watch 3 hours of television? And she hung her head and said, you're right. If you got 15, 20 minutes time to be on the internet, but you don't have time to read God's words. You got time to binge watch television show, but you ain't got time to read God's words. You got time to go fishing, hunting, bike riding, walking, whatever, and all that stuff, but you don't have time to read God's words. As R.C. Sproul once said to a group of people in a convention, he said, what's wrong with you people? You see, you just said it, Lisa. I make time. I give God my very best the first thing in the morning. Prayer time, read time. And sometimes, you know, I'm guilty of it. I do skip the read time to hurry and get out to cut those yards to beat the heat because it's so hot. And a lot of times I feel guilty about that. So I try to bring something with me to read. When I take a break and sit underneath a tree or whatever. But I try. And for these people to say this makes me wonder. Friends, look. The deepest message of the Bible and the ministry of Jesus is the grace of God to sinners and to those who are suffering. And this is the story of the Bible. The problem of human condition is because of sin, we are guilty and we suffer. And throughout the Bible, we constantly see God taking the initiative to bring His grace to sinners and sufferers, from His gracious dealings with the people of Israel to the climactic redemptive work of Jesus Christ in His life, death, and resurrection. And by taking us through the story of God bringing His grace to sinners and sufferers, Scriptures reveals the heart of God and the heart of a Christian faith. This is why the Bible should not or should never be a dread to read it and study it and live it. In fact, the Bible is the very life to us who has been born again. And in our message tonight, my friends, we're going to review what the Bible means to us as a Christian. What the Bible means to us as a Christian. The first thing that it means, lamp illuminating. Lamp illuminating. And you kind of understand what I'm talking about, because when you walk into a dark room, you know, you can hardly see where you're walking in. So you got to go to your lamp and you got to turn the switch on and bring light to everything so you can see. Well, that's what the Bible does for us. How do we know this? Let's go to Psalms 119, 105. Psalms 119, 105. Look what it says right there. That's the Bible speaking, my friends. It says, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Also, if you want to see more proof, look what Ephesians chapter 5, verse 7 through 8 says. Ephesians 5, 7 through 8. I love this one. It says, "Therefore, do not become partakers with them. For one time, you were darkness. But now, you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." Wow. Folks, what that means to us, the main lamp that should be turned on, the big one, the big switch that should be on, the lamp to us, my friends, in fact, is the Holy Spirit Himself. What you and I should be, we should be light walkers. That's right. That's what we are. We're light walkers. We're not walking in darkness. We should be walking in light. In fact, we do not, nor should we be walking in darkness. We are, in fact, walking in light for all to see. But now, if we're dealing with other Christians who are constantly involved in sin, makes me wonder if they are in the light at all. They shouldn't be. They shouldn't be in sin. We're supposed to be light bearers. We're supposed to be light walkers. We have the Holy Spirit Himself illuminating that light for all to see. We know that song, "Let this little light of mine shine. Let it shine, let it shine." That's what we should be. That's what the Bible means to us, lamp illuminating. The second thing it means to us, and I love this one, my friends, is fire refining and hammer breaking. That's what the Bible means, fire refining and hammer breaking. How do we know so? Look what Jeremiah chapter 23, 29 says. And I like this too. I mean, all God's words is wonderful. And it says, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" Woo! Woo! There you go. Friends, what that means to us, what this means, we are transformed and renewed by His words. And as we read it, study it, live it, it's like a hammer to us. Whoa, wait a minute. How's it like a hammer to us, Brother Jill? Friends, very simple. God's words shatters the sinful heart, and the fire of the Holy Spirit is refining us inside outward. So as we read the word, it's like a hammer. It shatters that sinful nature within us, but the Holy Spirit Himself is the one that's refining us under that fire of the Holy Spirit, making us into something brand new. Woo! How you like that one? Woo! We ought to be doing some, you ought to be doing some woo in your chairs right now. Woo! I know I do. You heard me. The third thing that the Bible means to us, milk and meat developing. Milk and meat developing. Probably scratching your head on that one. But if you want to find out what I'm saying, let's go to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. Look what it says. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their own powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Woo! Friends, this is how many newborn Christians start off on their path. Yes, we start off drinking milk instead of solid food. Now, you know as a fact, a brand new newborn baby, you don't feed them no 20-ounce T-bone steak. I love them T-bone steaks, though. I don't know about you. Or a Whopper for Rick. Rick loves them Whoppers. But you don't feed a baby a Whopper or a steak right off bat, do you? No. We usually start off on milk, condensed milk, powdered milk. All kind of milks out there now. We gradually upgrade to that mushy baby food. Then eventually start getting a little solid food. Usually mom or dad will mash those peas for you or something like that. But eventually you get into solid food. Well, see, that is how you are as a Christian when you first came to Jesus Christ. You start off as a newborn babe, and you are newborn babes in faith. And like infants, as we walk, grow, we learn as we do, we become mature adults eating the meat of the word. Because when we do so, we're well learned and well practiced in the faith. Now, please be warned, and I have ran across many brothers and sisters in this category. And I've seen many become so frustrated because, well Pastor Jim, I can't remember the scriptures like so-and-so does. I can't understand this like Susie does. My wife is learning stuff faster than I am. Something must be wrong with me. No, there's nothing wrong with you, because you have to understand, because of the works of the Holy Spirit, He works at a different pace in all of us. Different speeds, different paths. We're still under the influence of the Almighty God Himself, but God uses us at different speeds to put us in positions that He needs us at. Like when I first came to Christ, I could not understand why I came under so much fire, so much trials, so much temptation, so much pain, so much attacks, and this and this and this. I mean, it was just relentless. And I used to tell my Sunday school teacher in church, what is going on with me? I think things were better for me when I was a sinner. But you know what he told me? He said, no, Jim, that's not what I see. God has a plan for you, son, and he's putting you on the front line real quick for a reason. You may not see it yet, but he's doing that for a reason. He is speed tracking you to the front real quick. At first, I didn't get it, but now I do. And this is why I caution you Christians. Look, you are brought along at the pace that God has set for before your life. So don't get frustrated. Don't get aggravated because so-and-so can quote scriptures and type scriptures and almost memorize many more than you. Please don't. That is not how the Holy Spirit works within us. We all are born again. We all have the Holy Spirit, but we do work at different speeds. Remember that. The fourth thing for what the Bible means to us, a sword for fighting. That's right. What the Bible means to us, a sword for fighting. And you might be going, okay, where's he going with this one? Well, let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of joint, of a spirit, of joints, and of marrow, or marrow, however you want to pronounce that, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Marrow, okay, I get that. You see, friends, the word here in this passage is pictured as God's personal utterance. Living, it's active, it's sharp, it's piercing, it's discerning with eyes that exposes. The inner light, His Holy Spirit, is the one that exposes to us what is not right in our lives. And the Word shows us what is right by rebuking, conviction if needed, correction, reproof, if it has to be done. But His words are nothing but truth. And if we're living in the Holy Spirit of God, my friends, we will accept the truth. Now, fortunately, some don't like it. When the word is exposed to them and they see the truth, they don't like it. They get upset. They get mad. They get angry. And sometimes when you're talking to a person and you're using the word of God not to beat them up, not to drag them down, but when you're just speaking the words, a lot of times they become offended at it because the truth was exposed. That's what the Bible means to us as a Christian. But also what it means, when I'm talking about fighting, you're thinking, okay, Jim, I still ain't got with the fighting part yet. Well, okay, well, folks, the sword, if you look at it, what he's speaking of, anybody knows what the sword means? Whenever, this is how I pray, Lord, grant me the shoes that shods my feet of peace, the belt that girds my loins of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of truth, or the sword of the Spirit, and the helmet of salvation. That's what the sword means, my friends, the word of God. And it's not used for fighting in a physical sense, no. But using the word of God in our spiritual sense of dealings of everyday life. And when we use the word of God when dealing with the enemy, just as Jesus did in the desert, and if we use the word of God also in our dealings with other people that we encounter, that's what it means to be fighting. Not with fists, but with words. Jesus used the words against him so should we, in a loving way, but we do it in a truthful way. That's our two for fighting. And the fifth thing that the Word of God, or the Bible, the fifth thing that it means to us, and I love this one, seed for sowing. And I ain't talking about sowing like a little sowing machine. I'm talking about the other sowing. The fifth thing that the Bible means to us as a Christian, seed for sowing. How do we know? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. And it says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable through, look at this now, look at it closely, through the living and abiding Word of God. Woo! Amen for that one. And see, the best way to describe this, my friends, is that the Word of God is the seed you need because it is incorruptible. And when you have more and more and more of it, you will not harvest corruption. You get that? The more that you have the Word of God in you, you will not harvest corruption. In other words, my friends, your life will be more and more Christ-like and less of the world. Whew. And best of all, it will not be corrupted by the thinking of the world, or as what society thinks that you should be like. Yes, we are not to be of the world, but we are in the world. But we should not let the world corrupt us. You see, when you look at that scripture, the scripture then draws what I call a parallel. See, when you sow to the Spirit, when you make spiritual investments by depositing the Word of God, good seed, into your heart, you, my friends, will harvest life everlasting. Can I get an amen on that one? When you sow good seeds, when you sow the Word of God into your heart, you will harvest life everlasting. And that can't be taken away from you, no matter what. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. I feel my throat getting a little dry. Hold on. In closing, believers who were born anew through the living and abiding Word of God, meaning the whole of written scriptures, and I mean all of them, Old Testaments and New, but especially the saving message of the gospel, the exhortation to love flows from the new life as members of God's family. So back to the original question. What does the Bible mean to us as Christians? What does the Bible mean to us as Christians? Are you ready for this? Are you? Maybe I think you can't handle the truth. I don't know. Can you? Somebody say, yeah, I can handle the truth. I need to hear somebody say that or type it. Yeah, okay. I thought you could. Here, folks. Here's what the Bible really means to us. Very simple. The Bible shows us that God has a plan. The Bible shows us God's plans for humanity and earth from the beginning to the end. The Bible shows us who God is and what He is like. The Bible shows us who God is and what he is like, my friends. Look, right there, the Bible shows us who God is and what he is like. The Bible shows us his love. He is holy and pure. He is just and fair. He is patient and kind. He has all power and all knowledge. The Bible explains that God came to this earth as Jesus in the flesh, took a birth in human form. He transferred man's sins to his body and then killed it by dying on a cross. Whew, that sends chills down my back. Now, can we have God's perfect righteous in exchange for our guilt? And can we reconnect with God? Can we reconnect with him? Yes. Most important, the Bible says, if we believe in Jesus and surrender our lives to him, we will have everlasting life with him forever. The Bible, in fact, my friends, is the Word of God. It is God's book written to humankind. The Bible is God's guidebook for how to live our lives. But you, my friends, you are here tonight, and those who may listen to this message, but you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know that they are true, for you know you can trust those things and those words of those who taught you. Trust in God's words. Do not trust in man. Do not trust in programs. Do not trust in activities. Do not trust in plays. Do not trust in self-help books. Trust only in God. All scriptures, all, and I mean all. There are some Christians out there that say, well, Jim, I don't know why we teaching Old Testaments. Why we have Bible study in Old Testaments? Why should we even bother with Old Testaments? Folks, let me tell you something straight and get you straight right now. All of the Word of God is inspired by God. All, not some. Now, if you want to feel like you want nothing to do with the Old Testaments, then you need to get 2x4 and whack yourself upside the head, because all of the Word of God is precious. All scriptures is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong within our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us what to do is right. God uses it to prepare and equip us to do every good work. The fact remains, the Bible, the book of God, is a light to illuminate our way. As we read in Psalms, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and light for my path. It is like food that nourishes us and sustains us. And last but not least, the Bible. The Bible outlines and elaborates on God's interactions with humans throughout history. In it, we learn of his eternal purpose and his loving plan of salvation. Most important, if you get anything out of this message, if you still got to go back and re-listen to it, then do so. I do. Yes, it may sound funny. I do re-listen to my own messages. While I'm preaching it to you, I'm already know what I'm fixing to say, but sometimes I love to hear it again because it speaks to my heart. But most importantly, of all things, if you get something out of this tonight, listen carefully. The Bible, to us as Christians, is God's personal love letter to us. You get that? Do you? God's words, His Bible, is His personal love letter to us. How do we know? Because it says, "For God so loved the world." And that's John chapter what and what? Somebody ought to know that. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." That's His love letter. That's His love letter to us. And folks, this is what the Bible means to us as believers. I would say as Christians, but you can use it either way. As Christian born-again believers, this is what the Bible means to us. And we should walk in the light as the Bible says to do. And let this light so shine for all to see. It is real. It is living. It is active. And that's how lives can be transformed by it. Amen. Let's pray.